name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. As Father mentioned, today is an important Sunday in the life of the church. It happens every year, and this day has brought us to the brink of Great Lent. It's called Forgiveness Sunday. So if your spiritual life has sort of become a lazy river, maybe it's time in Great Lent to push off into the faster water, the current that will carry us along to the celebration of our Lord's Passion. I came across this past week a quote from Father Zacharias that Father Timothy Pavlatos had used to lead off a beginning of Lent sort of reflection. Father Timothy Pavlatos is the priest at the St. Catherine's Greek Orthodox Church in Chandler, Arizona. And he was formerly assistant priest at this parish. And before I launch into my homily, I'll read this opening quote from Father Zacharias. The Lord Jesus came himself to earth to impart to us the word of truth, and that word which can regenerate us and show us the way of return to paradise. In his infinite condescension, he bridged the bottomless abyss through his incarnation, and uniting his divine nature to human nature, he poured out the energy of his person upon all creation. Nowhere in the created world is there a place that Christ has not sanctified with his presence. Through his coming, he filled the earth, the waters, the eternal ethereal realms, even hell, with the light of his divinity, so that there is no power of darkness that may have dominion over those who desire to follow him. And he has given all those who love his presence the possibility to meet him and unite with him in any circumstance. After this quote, Father Timothy leads off and says, at no other time in the calendar does the church offer us, in such a concentrated and condensed manner, a time to focus on our repentance in order to meet our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I first read the quote as a lead-off into this season of repentance, I thought, how does this quote relate to repentance? It doesn't use the word repentance. It doesn't really seem to apply. What is repentance? Well, we have a lot of ideas when we hear that, and we hear the word repentance. Very often, we think about fighting our passions, trying not to sin, seeking forgiveness. We sin, we repent, and we confess. And we get maybe bound up into sort of a legalistic way of thinking about sin and repentance. But in 2 Peter, Peter writes that God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. From the Trisaion hymn, rather from the Trisaion prayer in the liturgy, it says, speaking to God, you have brought all things into being out of nothing. You overlook not the sinner, but you have set repentance as the way of salvation. It seems that in so many places, repentance is so much more than just an examination of our sins. The word itself, metanoia, the Greek word, means a change of mind or a change of heart or a change of nous. But I think it's so easy for us to think of it as sin, repentance, confession in sort of a legalistic way. We focus on the sin, and not on what God has done. And I was thinking about this. I came across a quote, a little essay from Father Stephen Freeman. Some of you are familiar with him. And he takes off of this from 2 Peter, where Peter says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is it we are coming to when we come to repentance, if it's more than just overcoming our sin? And here, Father Stephen says, here we can see that repentance is a goal, something that we move towards. In Orthodoxy, repentance is not seen merely as a response to something we've done wrong, but our proper and natural state of being, the state for which we were created. Repentance is the state of a heart when it is entirely open to God. It is not just a time or a change of mind on a particular matter, but a change of our mind, a change of our being to our proper state of being. And thus, St. Peter speaks of coming to repentance, coming to a new state of being, not merely repenting. And this, I think, is what the opening quote that Father Timothy started off with from Father Zacharias. He says, he has given to all those who love his presence the possibility to meet him and unite with him. And this is what repentance is, an opportunity to meet with him and unite with our God. I don't know if I'll be able to replace all of our old baggage that we associate with the word repentance, but I know many, including myself, hear that word sometimes and associate a negativity with it. But Father Stephen goes on, repentance as a state of the heart always cries out to God for grace. It longs for the grace of God to complete it and fulfill it, to make whole that which is lacking. We were created to live in such a state. Such a state is also aware of that which is lacking, not because it focuses on itself, but because it aches in the absence of grace. What Father Stephen is describing, really, as repentance, is just our whole life in Christ. It's not something we just do. Repentance is a state of grace that we are returning to, a state of being, a state of seeking. It is a becoming of what we are or what we were meant to be. It's more than just pulling weeds, which is a common metaphor for repentance. But it's more like being the gardener, tending the soil, and presenting the garden of our heart continuously to the master gardener. It's a state of being that is open to God. And I think for me, I will be opening my mind this Lent and thinking about repentance in a different way. Father Stephen describes it as a heart of repentance that is entirely open to God. Now, a heart that is open to God, of course, must also be a heart that is open to others. And today we are confronted with the first challenge of today's gospel. If you forgive, let me make sure I get this right. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Jesus says things similar to this in other places, encouraging us to forgive one another from our hearts. We see that a lack of forgiveness on our part, if we fail to forgive, it prevents us from entering into and staying in that grace-filled state of repentance that I was trying to describe. It prevents us from living that life in Christ. Through unforgiveness, we step out of God's grace, and we can't see clearly what in our own life needs healing, what needs forgiveness. St. Siloam says, "We have such a law as Christians that if you forgive, it means that God has forgiven you. But if you do not forgive your brother, it means that your sin remains with you." If you forgive, if you are able to forgive, it means that God has forgiven you. St. Sophroni says that what this means is that God, in this sense, has made us his equal. He ties our forgiveness of others to his forgiveness of us. He has made us co-forgivers with him. It's as if God says to us, if you want forgiveness and healing, then be like me and initiate and extend forgiveness to others. This is an echo of the second greatest commandment, which is to love others as yourself. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, what is our difficulty? Why is it so hard often to forgive? Pride, self-centeredness. Well, of course, the antidote is humility. In all of our pre-Lenten Sundays, it is reminded that what we need to engage in this life of repentance, to engage in this life in Christ, is humility. That we must learn humility. St. Paisio says, humility and love, that's all there is. I may have lost it. St. Siloam says, humility gives love all the space, and God is love. He goes on, those who bear in themselves the spirit of the God of love struggle to give all the space in their heart to their brothers and sisters, who Christ purchased with his precious blood. To be humble and forgiving is to give space in our heart to our brothers and sisters. And it is a struggle. Forgiveness, as we probably all know, is not easy. Another barrier besides our own lack of humility is that I think that many of us have a lack of faith in God's forgiveness. We don't really believe in our bones and in our heart. We don't believe deeply that we really have been forgiven. We can't even forgive ourselves for some of the things we've done. There's a story from the life of St. Siloam. And forgive me, I think I've told this story before. It's before he was a monk, when he was known as Simeon. And he was doing his time in the military. One weekend, he was in a pub, and he noticed a middle-aged villager playing the accordion and singing and dancing. And he knew him from the village. This surprised him. And he drew the middle-aged man to himself and said, "How can you play and dance like that? Didn't you kill someone once?" He had indeed killed a man in a drunken brawl. But the man answered the young Simeon and said to him, "When I was serving my sentence in prison, I prayed and I prayed, begging God to forgive me. And he did. That is why I can now play and be happy." This made an impression on the young Simeon, the future St. Siloam, who was himself burdened by the guilt of his own sins. So often we are burdened by our own sins because we don't believe that we can be forgiven of them. We don't believe that our God loves us enough. We don't believe that we've been forgiven. And this prevents us from being able to extend that same forgiveness to others. Forgiveness of God is empowering. When we begin to grasp God's grace and just how much he loves us, just how perfect and complete his forgiveness is, then we are empowered to live that life in Christ, that grace-filled state of repentance that Father Freeman spoke of. And we can begin to forgive ourselves. Likewise, when we offer heartfelt forgiveness to each other, we participate with God as his children in opening up his forgiveness and love and grace to a world that is hungry for it. When we offer forgiveness to others, we are participating with God in the forgiveness of the world. Through forgiveness, we can empower others to be able to seek this life, to seek Christ's life, to seek repentance. Another short account from the life of St. Silouan. Archimandrite Sophroni, when he was the attendant of St. Silouan, overheard a conversation between St. Silouan and a monk who was visiting. It shows the unfathomable depth of love that God has and that we should have towards all who offended us. Now, this hermit was speaking to St. Silouan, and he declared with evident satisfaction that God will punish all the atheists, and they will burn in an everlasting fire. This upset St. Silouan, and he said, "Tell me," to the monk, "supposing you went to paradise, and there you looked and down and saw someone burning in hellfire, would you be happy?" The monk replied, "It can't be helped. It would be their own fault." St. Silouan got quiet, and with a sorrowful countenance, he said, "Love could not bear that. We must pray for all." Forgiveness for the world starts with us. No one is beyond forgiveness. Freely give, Christ says to us, for you have been freely given. Freely forgive, for you have been freely forgiven. Our journey through Lent is often characterized by the term bright sadness or joyful mourning. And truly, we can get a sense for what that means, this joyful mourning, when we are living this life in Christ, living in tension between the awareness of our brokenness, our weakness, our sin, and as God illumines us, the joyful thankfulness for all the gifts that we've been given, and all that he has done for us, and all that he is doing for us. And we hold these two things in tension in our lives. And this is what characterizes our Lenten journey. Our entrance into repentance, into our grace-filled life, is a struggle, a continuous struggle against the world, but mostly against ourselves. St. Nikolai says, when we realize that what grace comes to us from fasting and almsgiving and forgiving, entering into repentance, when we realize what grace is available to us, we will be filled with joy. Especially when we realize that we don't do it alone, but that we embark on this journey together. St. Silouan once wrote, "Glory be to the Lord that he gave us repentance. Through repentance, we shall all, every one of us, be saved. Only those who refuse to repent will not find salvation. They have not known through the Holy Spirit how great is God's mercy. But if every soul knew the Lord, knew how much he loves us, no one would ever despair." My brothers and sisters in Christ, no one should ever despair of their salvation. It is God's will that all should be saved. Glory to God that he has given us repentance, the grace-filled life of his presence, where we can meet him and experience him. And when we enter into that struggle with joy, we can together participate with God in the forgiveness and the healing and the salvation of the world. Now today, Forgiveness Sunday, we have a very special and unique opportunity during the Forgiveness Vespers, which I hope you are all able to stay for. We will stand before each other with our hearts open, asking and offering forgiveness. Symbolically, we stand before the whole world. We offer not only each other forgiveness, but forgiveness for the whole world. And if you are not able to be here today for Forgiveness Vespers, please forgive me, innocent, the unworthy deacon. God forgives us.